Good morning. Our first lesson is found in Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The word of the Lord. Second reading is Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Please stand for the gospel.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all of the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love with all your strength and love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our time with a children's chat with Mike Mueller.
Come on up. Don't be shy. All right.
Hi, Joseph. How are you? Jason, it's good to see you again, buddy.
All right, you guys can just sit right here. Sit right here in front of me. Welcome, girls. All right, so what is this? Oh, wait, I need Elle. Where's Elle? She's my Bible reader. Okay. This is Play-Doh. And we're going to play with it after in children's church. That's okay. We'll do that after. So, everyone knows what this is, Play-Doh. It's a great invention, right? It feels really cool. It smells very good. It's very unique smell. But the best thing about Play-Doh is you can shape it and mold it and conform it into anything your imagination can think of, right? Well, the world is trying to get us to conform to being more like the world. So Elle is going to read a scripture for us. Go ahead with your outdoor voice.
Oh, with my outdoor voice.
Yeah, and turn toward them.
Oh, I'll turn towards you guys.
Say okay. Where it's from.
Romans 12.
Bear with. Go ahead.
It's Romans 12. A living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Because of all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice.
Okay, hold on. Sit down.
This is truly the way to worship. Don't call me to be holy and accustomed to the word, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Thank you, Elle. Okay, so it warns us to not look like the world. Because the world is going against God in a lot of ways. Right, Jason?
Yeah.
And God's word tells us to look like his son, Jesus. Now, how can we look like his son, Jesus? What are some things we can do to look like Jesus? What are some ways? Anybody know? Well, Elle just did one way. What did she just do? She read the Bible. And in the beginning of the service, what do? We pray. Very good. Those are all ways that God wants us to look like Jesus. Now, in the scripture reading in Romans 12, it also said to know God's will for our lives. Now, to know God's will just means to know what God wants us to do. Now, how do we know God's will? I want to follow scripture. I want to know what God wants me to do. So how do we do that? Anybody want to take a guess? Listen to him. Pray. And the main way we do that is we glorify him. Can you guys say glorify? Say it.
Glorify.
Say it from the heart. Glorify.
Glorify.
All right. And that means we wake up and we praise God every day. We thank God for our food, our clothes, our mom and dads, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our cousins, our friends. Everything that God has blessed us with, we give him glory. But the most important thing that we give God glory for is Jesus, right? Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. And when we do this, when we're constantly glorifying God, God will transform us into being like his son, Jesus. That's a lot better than the first service cross, that's for sure. So when Elle says, no, that's not good. I want to see you do a better cross than that children's church.
Okay.
Without looking and talking and focusing on what you're saying. Just kidding, Elle. All right, so allow God, boys and girls, to transform you into being like his son, Jesus, so you can be used by God for amazing things in this world. Amen?
Amen?
All right, well, let's say a quick prayer, and then we'll go to children's church and play with some Play-Doh ourselves, okay? All right, so fold your hands, close your eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. God, thank you for showing us in your word what it means to live for you and not live for ourselves, but to obey you and to follow Scripture. We thank you, Jesus. And all God's kids said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go, guys. Let's go. Come on. Grab that.
That was fantastic. Now, the rest of us get to participate a little bit here, too. Glorify! I think you got better. Glorify! Okay, Pastor Rick. Couldn't have been better had we planned it. I'm Pastor Jeff, and it is a joy to be in God's house with all of you. I'm glad that you're here. Beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, but it is more wonderful and beautiful and tremendous to be in God's presence this morning. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give you praise, to give you glory, to reflect you to the world. We pray that as we gather in your house, we would be reminded of your love for us. May your word transform us. May we not be conformed to the ways of the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our hearts, our minds, our lives, the entire self. May we reflect you to the world. In your holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So we've started a new series for the summer, and even right there, to say it that way, that might feel a little intimidating, an entire summer series. Well, we're breaking it into three different pieces. So if you want, you can look at it as three different sermon series. But all three are going to be focused on the GC squared, love God, love others, make disciples. GC squared, as you see it as you walk in the door here at Good Shepherd, simply put, there's nothing like difficult or, I'm going to say challenging. Yes, it is challenging. It's a wonderful challenge to follow God. But GC, Great Commission and Great Commandment. Today we're going to hear a little bit about the Great Commandment, in particular through the words of the Shema, and how Jesus himself, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he sums it up and he restates. He doesn't fall into the trap that is being laid for him. He just speaks what those who are listening would know, the way in which God has been at work. But here at Good Shepherd, GC Squared, we want to be a church that is abiding in his word, that we would follow the Great Commission, and we would be responding to the Great Commandment. And so with that in mind, this summer we're looking at the month of June, loving God; July, loving others; August, making disciples. But as we embark on this series throughout this summer, we will emphasize again and again and again kind of this overarching reality, truth that we all need to hear and be reminded of, and that is that God loves you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for us to be well-behaved enough, good enough, handsome enough, smart enough, talented enough. While we were still sinners, while we were still in the place of disobedience, he chose you. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows you, and he chose you. He loves you. In that choice, he loves you, and he willingly sent his son into the world. And we're going to have this spoken again and again and again. It shouldn't just be this summer. It should be the entirety of our lives being reminded that God loves us. The most important thing about us is that God loves us. But we're going to start there. In 1 John chapter 4, we see this in verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Verse 9, "This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we would live through him." Verse 10, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us, for our sins." He paid the price on our behalf. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We need to be reminded of that all summer. We need to be reminded of that every day. I need to be reminded of that when I wake and when I sleep, when I walk about, when I spend time with family, when I spend time with friends, when I spend time alone. I need to be reminded that God loves me. This love that God has for us is immense and tremendous. So, with that in mind, we're looking at loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus recaps the Shema as the Israelites, the Jewish people would understand and know exactly what it was that Jesus was saying. Which of these is the most important? We're going to be today looking specifically at loving the Lord your God with all your soul. And I don't know about you, but I am a very kind of practical, hands-on, I want to understand and ask questions like, okay, how can I do this? I don't want it to be just a cerebral exercise in terms of, well, this is church language that I'm supposed to go and love God with my soul. So I want to unpack soul a little bit. That's going to be our foundation. We're going to stick a pin in it, and we're going to understand some things about what is being said here in love the Lord your God with all your soul. Well, the Hebrew word, the original Hebrew authors, the original Hebrew hearers, the word itself was nephesh. It's unfortunate for us that the most common translation in English is soul, because of a lot of baggage that comes primarily from Greek philosophy that would categorically make us think of the soul as some non-living entity that's trapped within us that is released upon death. Almost like a ghost in the machine idea. That was introduced primarily through, as I said, Greek philosophy. But that would have not been how the original authors in Hebrew would have been speaking or understanding. They did have an idea or a concept of that type of an idea, but it was never nephesh. It was never soul as we would then translate that word. So this Hebrew word nephesh, what is it that it is portraying, communicating, speaking? What is it that those were hearing Jesus, or those Jewish, the Israelites who for generations wandered the desert, lived in obedience followed by disobedience, lived in a divided kingdom and a united kingdom, lived in and out of God's presence? Well, they would have heard it as this soul being nephesh, an understanding that that is actually the entirety of ourselves. They wouldn't have seen it as an immortal entity that is released. They would have not seen it as something that we have a nephesh. Rather, they would have understood it as we are a nephesh. Our life, our whole self. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Excuse me. Didn't want that to come through the microphone because that would have hurt all of us. The idea here is completely foreign to the Hebrew listener to say that it is this disembodied entity, a ghost in the machine. Nephesh, Hebrew, soul. We see this, for example, in the story of Jacob as we encounter it in Genesis chapter 46, verse 15. 46 verse 15 says, these were the sons Leah bore to Jacob in Padan Aram, besides his daughter Dinah. Those sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. The original author would have been writing that Jacob's family, there were 33 nephesh. There were 33 people. There were 33 lives in his family. We see it again in Psalm 119. In fact, soul, nephesh, appears over 700 times in the Old Testament alone as nephesh, this communication of the entirety of ourselves, our living being. Psalm 119, verse 175 says, the English translation that we would run into and we read today, let me live that I may praise you. Let me live that I may praise you. The original author in Hebrew would have been read this way, let my nephesh live that it may praise you. It's not that we have a nephesh, it is that we are a nephesh. It is our whole self, which brings us to the big question. Okay, I'm going to understand. I'm going to put myself in the place where I can hear as the original hearers would have been hearing. But I still ask the question, that being said, how might I love the Lord my God with my entire self, my entire living, breathing, alive self? Well, today I have four recommendations, four thoughts. Put it in the form of an acronym for those of you that are note takers. Four ways in which we may put it into practice to love the Lord your God with all of yourself. And that acronym is just simply SOUL. S, we want to surrender. Sometimes I'm always a very visual person. And I remember, I'm going to date myself a little bit, go back to the, I think, 80s, Karate Kid. Karate Kid with Daniel LaRusso. And there's this scene where he went to the, some type of a fun, there were bumper boats and video arcade and all this different stuff with the girl that he was infatuated with. But he had done something to offend her, and he was trying to make it up. She was doing one of those shooter games, a duck hunt type game. He jumps in front, and he yells out, I surrender! And he puts up his hands, and he surrenders. And I started thinking this week, that is an image that we think of when we think of surrendering. And God transformed my thinking this week in that he's not asking us to give up. He's not asking us to just kind of lay down and say, we're done. He gave me a different image. And it was a slight shift and a transformation in the same imagery. And that was to turn this way. And suddenly, that image of surrendering became far more what I think God is inviting us to experience. And I saw it, and my mind's eye was picturing what it was like to have children, young children at home. And that was, what is it that a young child will do when they want to be picked up by a loved one? When they want to run to a safe place and seek security, they will run and wholeheartedly expect to be picked up, to be cradled. And in that security, they're surrendering to their loved one. And that is what the invitation that we can have during our times of worship, during our times of being with the Lord, that we might choose to surrender. As we turn to Him and seek security, safety, shelter, we are surrendering to Him. And in so doing, we are loving Him with our whole soul. And He is worthy to be praised in that way. And second idea, surrender followed by obey. I'm not going to make any attempt to cover more of what Pastor Rick did last week on loving God through our obedience, because it was so beautifully stated. If you weren't with us last week, I will simply say, go listen to last week's sermon on loving God through our obedience. It was fantastic. But as we serve God, as we love God with our obedience, we are loving God with our entire self, our soul. Loving God through our obedience is not about, well, if I obey enough, God will love me more. If I obey enough, I will increase my status. If I obey enough, I will have enough gain in this life. No. If I obey, it's because it's my response to the love He first has for me. My obedience is simply the opportunity to say, thank you for the gift of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God loves us so much, he willingly sent his son into the world. And now we have the opportunity, the privilege, the challenge to say thank you as best we possibly can. And we can do that through obedience. You would be to uplift others. Jesus himself, when he was approached and said, which of these is the greatest commandments? And Jesus says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We need to keep those in order. We need to first and foremost understand, just as it is stated, that God loves us. And in that place of love, yes, we are called to love the Lord your God with all that you have. Here, with our entire life. But in so doing, we're also called to love others by uplifting them. To speak an encouraging word. To be kind to our neighbors. To help meet a need. If you recognize someone say, oh, you're having it's a hard day because you're cold. Well, I pray that you are warm and you have a coat and you don't give it. Or a blanket and you don't share. If all we do is wish them well and let them be on their way, we want to uplift those that are around us. We want to reflect Jesus to the world in a way that others see him. We have this opportunity to uplift others. Part of the Great Commission, part of the Great Commandment, is to love others as he has first loved us. L is to love him. To love him with our actions, love him with our decisions, love him with our habits. Love him with everything that comes out of us. Recognizing that we, this side of eternity, this side of heaven, we definitely have imperfection. But we are invited to love him. So if we want to consider how we might love the Lord our God with all of our soul, let us be willing to surrender to him. Let us be willing to seek security in him. Let us be willing to find safety and shelter in him. Let us be willing to obey his commandment and to walk according to his will, his purpose, his plan. May we be willing to uplift others, to speak an encouraging word, to pray for the needs of others. And may we always, through it all, love him well. Now I'm going to give you a simple invitation to, as we come to a close, a simple invitation to consider this week. This week, I want to invite, challenge, encourage, whichever word fits you best. If you need to be challenged, be challenged. If you need to be invited, be invited. If you need to be encouraged, be encouraged. But I want you to put into practice, try on three spiritual disciplines this week. First and foremost, worship. You might be thinking, I'm here. I'm already doing that. And yes, you are. And well done. Keep it up. But worship is more than gathering corporately. There is something profound and deep and truly, truly important about gathering together with other believers. Throughout Scripture, we see the importance of being together with other people. But that's not the limitation of what worship is. Biblical understanding of worship is ascribing worth to God. And we can ascribe worth to God every day in our actions, our behaviors, our treatments of others. Whether it be cleaning the house and having praise music on. I remember when I was 18, 19, and I first moved out of the house, my old roommate, his name was Jace, he and I would clean the house, and there was a Christian artist known as Carmen, and there was this old funky song called the Holy Ghost Hop, or Holy Ghost Shuffle. And we never bothered to close our blinds, and our neighbors decided to tell us, every time you clean the house, we can see the two of you dancing all over your apartment. What is going on over there? Every time we would clean the house, we would crank up the Holy Ghost Shuffle, and we'd be dancing all over, giving praise to Jesus while we were vacuuming and cleaning. They probably thought we were the kookiest guys on the planet. But we can ascribe worth to God through our daily quiet moments, through our corporate worship times. Worship is not limited to an hour a week in a place that's not your home. Worship is about our constant interactions with our Father and ascribing worth to Him, telling Him how glorious and majestic and how wonderful He is, and recognizing the ways in which He is at work. So this week, challenge yourself to find ways to ascribe worth, to worship God our King in your daily interactions. Try it on. See how it fits. See how God shows up. Second spiritual discipline that I want to challenge you to consider, to be invited to try this week, would be fasting. Fasting, maybe it's fasting from something that is distracting you. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's who knows what it might be that's occupying too much scrolling time. Maybe it's a food item that you want, feeling as though you might want to give up. Maybe it's trying a different type of a fast, like a Daniel fast, where Daniel gave up and only was eating fruits and vegetables. Fasting is not about what we give up so much as it is what we take in. What is it that focuses our attention when we give that thing up? Where do we turn our heart? Where do we give our attention? Which brings us back to that place of worship. So maybe try this week how you might fast from something that might be dividing your attention or capturing your heart in a way that God is saying, come to me. Give me that time. Try it on. See how God shows up this week. And lastly, to pray. We talk a lot about how we as a church pray first and pray always, which is a high value for us as a congregation. And I want you to know that we, as a staff, as pastors, we pray for you all the time. I'm going to invite you to be people that pray all the time as well. This week, give it a try. See what it's like every morning and every night. Maybe for you it's the Shema. Maybe it's every morning and every night. Read Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. And that let that be the first thing that you read and pray before your feet hit the floor, and the last thing you read before you close your eyes. But be a person of prayer and see how God might show up. An invitation in particular this week is we are hosting a prayer walk on Saturday. Saturday at 11, all of you are invited to come participate. All of you can participate in a couple of different ways. One, you could come here at 11 and join us for a prayer walk. We're looking to pray for God's will, purpose, and plan for Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. We're going to pray and walk and pray around the property, possibly around inside the building. We just want to be people of prayer. Maybe you want to join us. Maybe at home at 11 o'clock you want to pray for those that are here. Or maybe you want to pray around your neighborhood. Here in July there will be 10,000 students from around the country, and it's going to be the largest prayer walk in United States history. 10,000 high school students are going to prayer walk every neighborhood in the entire valley, praying that God would show up in this valley in a profound and life-altering, changing way. When we turn our hearts to heaven and we pray, we're simply praying, Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let us be people that worship and praise God, to love Him wholeheartedly with our entire soul, our entire nefesh, our entire self. May we surrender to our King. May we be obedient to our Lord. May we uplift others as we serve Him. And may we most of all love Him well as we pray and fast and worship. Now as we close, if you would please pray with me. I'm actually just going to pray the psalm as we read it earlier. Let it be our closing prayer, and then we will turn our time and attention to worshiping through song. There will be some prayer available here at the altar rail. If you'd like prayer during communion, there will be prayer ministers at the back as well. But please pray with me. Oh God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Our souls thirst for you. Our flesh faints for you as in a weary land, Where there is no water, we have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because you're steadfast and your love is better than life. Our lips will praise you. We will bless you as long as we live. In your name, we will lift up our hands. Our souls will be satisfied as with fat and rich foods. And our mouths will praise you with joyful lips when we remember you upon our beds and when we meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been our help, and in the shadow of your wing we will sing for joy. Our souls cling for you. Your right hand upholds us. Amen.